We are in page 906, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasik Chav Hei. Okay, we learned that the Jews were sent to Midian. They came back. They came back with a lot of spoils that they didn't touch. They brought them to Moshe Rabbeinu that they should get permission and figure out what to do with it. And then they all brought back the women. Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at them. He starts screaming at them. These were the ones that caused you to sin. What are you doing? Because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha, like we discussed last week, at great length, why anger is aveda zara, why anger makes it forget, why anger is no good, period. Okay, so then we learned the dinam of kashering utensils, right? Something that got trafe in fire, go through fire. So he said, the metal, but various different things. Okay, pasuk chavek. Vayem Hashem Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, saying, so as Reish Makoyach Hashvi, you should count. Count the Reish Makoyach Hashvi, the total of the captured spoils, ba'odom of Abahema, in people and animals. Now the Jews got a lot of things, but here the Torah says this unique counting was for people and animals. Out of Elazar Akein, you and Elazar Akein, okay. And the heads of the fathers of the assembly, I mean the heads of the families. V'chatzisus ha-malkoyach, you should divide the spoils in half. V'intevzi ha-malchama ayetim la-tzava, between the ones that went to fight, the soldiers, they get half. U'vein kol ha-eda, and all the other people. Okay? Now, the ones that fought in the battle, they were the ones that risked their lives, so they get half. Okay? So we learned 12,000 people went to fight. 12,000 people got half of the spoils in people and animals. All the other people who didn't go to fight, so they also got 50%. But obviously each person got more from the soldiers than they got from the rest of the people. And you should, this is, we're going to go quick. It's just calculations. You should raise a tribute to Hashem from the soldiers, they go out to, from the soldiers. Okay? So he says like this. The soldiers got 50%. The nation got the other 50%. From the soldiers who got their people and animals, you take 1 out of 500, min ha'adam, min bakar, min chamedim, min atzein. Okay? So you have to take 1/500th from all of them. They have to give this tax to Hashem. 908.
Adam, what mean Adam? Adam, they kill everything.
No. We're consumed. They got people. There was a lot of people they captured.
Midianim,
they came back as a lot of slaves. Moshe screamed at them that they brought back
ladies,
women. But the men, they brought back a lot of men. We're going to see 32,000. They brought back a lot of people. So he says like this. Mimachsis, 1 second. Yeah. But that's not what they did. So he says like this. Take 1/500 from these four spoils. Okay? It says clearly in the passage. Animal, people, cattle, donkeys, and sheep. Then Farshim asked what happened to camels. So they said maybe camels came later, whatever. It's interesting. Tesis in the Chumash asked the question, what happened to the camels? We find later in Chumash that Midian had a lot of camels. But the Torah says only from these you have to give. So you give like this. 50% the soldiers get. From what the soldiers get, 1/500th they give as a tax to Hashem. Mimachsisim tikachu, half of that, meaning half of the 1 of 500, you give la'lozer akayin trumas Hashem. Okay, you give la'lozer akayin.
1 per 1,000.
Huh? So you got 1 per 1,000. Mm-hmm. It's a tenth of a percent. Okay. Well, machsis bnei Yisrael, and then from the half that the rest of the nation got, in other words, from what the soldiers got, they gave 1/10 of a percent to Elazar HaKohen. Now, from what the Jews got, not the soldiers, the half that the Jews got, tikach echad ochus menachamishim, you should take one from 50. Min Adam bin Abaka min Achamedim min Atzei Mikola Behima. V'nasata Esam Lalviim Shemrei Mishmeres Mishkan Hashem. You give it to the Levium. Okay? So
1,550, yeah? It's too much difference.
Yeah, in other words, Elazar HaKohen got this 0.1%, and the Levium got more, but they got more because it was 1 out of 50, yeah. Right? But you have to understand, number one, they got less than the soldiers got, and there were more. Elazar was only one guy, and here you're talking about the Levium. There were a lot of Levium. V'yas meishiv Elazar HaKohen kasher tziv Hashem es meishiv. Moshe and Elazar HaKohen did exactly what Hashem told them to do. They made the cheshbonos of how much money they made. Okay, it's interesting. It's going to go through the whole cheshbon. Again, it's just numbers, basically. Okay, the animal beyond the spoils that the people took. Now, this malkeach of tzoin, bakar, chameidim, and people, right? In addition to the physical objects. The physical objects, by the way, the only the soldiers got.
They don't make it after.
Well, we're going to see what they do with that. They actually gave it, donated it to the Mishkan. Okay. Tzain sheish meyeis elef v'shivim elef v'chamesha salafim. How much sheep were there? 675,000. That's how much sheep they got. It's a lot. From fighting a war in Midian, come back with 600,000
sheep
and 75,000. 72, I'm sorry.
75.
Huh?
75.
Right. 675,000. The cattle, Ubakar, Shnayim v'shivimolev, 72,000. Chameirim, how many were donkeys? Echad v'shishim olev. How many chars were there? 61,000. How many people? The nefesh adam, min anoshim asher lo yodu mishkav zachar. Because remember, we learned women that were fit to live with men, they had to kill. Right? The tzitz showed which one, and then they killed them. So he says, from the women that were not killed, kol nefesh shnayim ushleishim, 32,000. Now they actually brought back a ton of stuff from Midian. 600,000 sheep, 32,000 people that weren't killed.
They're a huge nation.
Yeah, but I'm
so
saying.
These women, they converted them?
No, these were women that were too young to be with men.
Spoilers. They were converted.
The word spoilers refers to.
I mean, they were.
We're going to see. This is only people and animals so far.
The word spoilers refers to.
What he's talking about here, yeah. Let's put it this way. They call it booty and spoils. Spoils are everything else, not people and animals. The booty, they're talking about, the Torah calls it the Malkayach. The booty was people and animals.
So what happened to these girls? They converted the little ones?
They kept them as slaves.
But they didn't become Jews?
No. Vatiya Mechta. What?
Just the lucky ones.
Yeah. So now it's interesting. The Torah is going to tell you how much half. It's like, it's funny. The Torah says, take half and give it. Okay. So if it says 600,000, you know that half is 300,000. No, the Torah is going to say exactly how much each one is. Batia mechza, okay, was the half. Chelek ayetzim batzava, how much did the soldiers get? Okay. The half was, mizpar atzain, because all together before was 600,075. So what's half of that? Shleish meyes elef, ushleishim elef. 330,000 and 337,500. Because that's half of what they got. Batia mechas l'Hashem min atzein. So how much was the 1/500th of the sheep? Sheish meyers chamesh v'shivim. 675. So Lazar HaKohen got from the tzein 675 sheep. V'abokar, how much was the bokar? Shisho shleishim olef. 36,000. Because the first number was 72,000. So half was 36,000. Umichsim l'Hashem, how much was the tax to Hashem? Shnayim v'shivim. 72. V'chameirim, this is time to push a simple math. Shleishim elef v'chameish meyeis, michsum l'ashem echad v'shishim. So half of the chameirim was 30,500. Therefore, 1% over there was 61. V'nefesh adam, and the soul of men, before it was only counting women. How much would the men? Shisha sa elef, because half of the 32,000 of people is 16,000. Umichsum Hashem, Shnaim Ushleishim Aleph. Okay? So the Pasha of the Torah says, Hashem said to him, count how much, figure it out, and cut it in half, and this is what he did. Vayitin Meisha, Esmechas Trumas Hashem Lalazar HaKoyin, Meisha Rabbeinu gave this tax of that Hashem said, to Lazar HaKoyin, Kashetziva Hashem Es Meisha. It's a very interesting thing. The Ramban asks, bring it at the bottom of it. The Ramban says, why is the Torah telling us the half? I mean, we know. 600,000 divided by, I mean, you know. He says, over here, wants to tell us that not one animal or person from the spoils died between the time they captured and the division. With so many animals, you think a sheep would die, this would die. So the Ramban says, he's teaching us that not one animal died. So when they made the division, it was a division of the full amount that they brought back from the war. And that's what the Torah is telling us. What's the significance? And the Mefarshim explain, because it wants to say, you see from here how big and powerful Midian was. Right?
That they didn't die, I'm saying.
No. What's the mirror? The miracle is because Hashem wanted everybody to get the full share. Hashem wanted everybody to get the full share. The miracle over here is also that you see from here how large and powerful Midian was, and yet 12,000 Jews conquered, and we're not done. The president saying not one Jew was killed. Wow. Not one Jew was killed.
Physically?
Physically, in the war. From all the soldiers, he's going to say in a few psukim, everybody came back for more.
We're not talking drones. It's face to face.
No drones. Okay. Okay. Pasuk Mem Beis. U'memachzes b'nei Yisrael shechotze meishmin anashim atzevim. And then from the half, the Meisha Beinu gave to the soldiers. T'imachzes o'eda min atzein shtesh meis elv shtesh meam shiv salam chamesh. Again, it's the same thing. The number is cut in half. Bokar Shishu Shleishim Elv 36,000 Chameidim Donkey Shleishim Elv Chamesh Meiris V'Nefesh Adam Shisha Salav. Again, the Torah is going through the whole Megillah about the halves. V'Yikach Meisha Mimachzis B'nei Yisrael. Meisha B'nei took from the half of the Eden Echad Ochuz Minachamishim 1/50th, 1 out of 50, like the Pasuk says. V'Yitin Eitzim L'Alviyim, he gave them to the Leviyim Sheminim Mishmeris Mishkan Hashem, who protect the Mishkan, Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Meisha. See from here another interesting thing, and that is that when Jews go to war, the Jews staying at home, saying Tillim and davening for them, are just as important as the soldiers. And therefore, when the spoils come back, the soldiers, you know, can't say we get it all because we're the ones that did it. Hashem says, you know what? All the Jews are one. You won because we'll soon see. And the Rebbe says in the Sikha, a very interesting thing. But Hashem wants to teach us that the people staying home at war also deserve to get. We find the same thing by David HaMelech. Later on in Melachim, David HaMelech did the same division. Okay. So he says like this. Pasik Memches. Okay. V'yikvira HaMeisher. They came to Meisher. Apkudim HaShelalfi HaTzava. The people that were in the heads of the thousands of the then there's the generals. Vayemin al Meisha, and they said to Meisha the following: Avadecha nasu sreishan shimachama shebiadenu. We counted all the soldiers that went to war. Leinifked mimenu ish. Not one person died. Nobody's missing, which is a bigger miracle than everything else. So Mefarshim say an interesting thing. Why didn't they come to Meisha earlier?
Before the
division, because when he was angry, they didn't want to talk to him. After everything was divided, never everything was good. Then they came to Meisha Rabbeinu, said, "Rabbeinu Meisha, now that you calm down, we just want to tell you that leinifker mimenuish, that one person was missing.
This is, was a good news. How
this is very good news.
So how come they don't say it first? This is most important.
Because when somebody's angry, you just don't talk to them.
Even to give them good news,
you just don't talk to them.
You talk about the divisions and all that.
That was a lot of, yeah, but now that he saw that he calmed down, so you know, the division they decided to tell.
First day,
but the Rebbe asks a question in the Sicha. The Rebbe asks a very interesting question. This is not the first war the Jews fought. They fought Sichan and Neig. They fought a lot of different things. Why doesn't it say by the other battles, they nifkir mimenu ish? From all the battles in Chumash, the only war that comes back and says nobody died, nobody was lost, is the war against Midian. Why? The Jews fought a bunch. Amalek, Mitzrayim, Sichon and Neg. I mean, they fought battles. So the Rebbe explains, because we learned at the beginning of this Midian story, Midian means modern and medieval, fighting. No Achdus, no unity. When you fight Midian, meaning, when you fight hatred, the Achdus of the Bnei Yisrael makes sure that nobody dies. So by this war, the Torah is emphasized over here, because you're fighting Midian, modern or medieval fighting, and you're winning the war, so then over here Hashem gives you the schus that nobody dies, because Achdus is the strength of the Jewish people.
Ahab was the same.
When there's unity. Like there's it's a mashal brought down in Midrashim all over the place. You have a single straw, you break it very easily. But if you have a bundle of straw, it's impossible to break.
If they're tied.
A bundle. Or if you have another mashal they give, a little kernel of sand. By itself is nothing. But when you have together on the seashore, it holds back the mighty ocean. So the Rebbe says over here the same thing. When it's fighting over here, okay? Now, the Ramban brings down, in addition to this, what does it mean over here? They said, Leinifkid mimenu ish. Nobody is missing. So simply means, in the physical sense, nobody was missing. Nobody got killed. But they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ramban says, with something else. Spiritually, nobody was ruined. Leinifkid mimenu ish. We didn't lose anybody. Spiritually, he says, nobody was led astray by the Midianites. So therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to soon see that because of that, the commanders donated all their jewelry that they got from the spoils, they donated it to the Mishkan to show appreciation, both in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense, that nobody died, physically and spiritually. Okay, so it says like this. For those that just came in, 908, all the way at the bottom of the page. V'nakrev es korban Hashem. So we have brought an offering to Hashem. No, it's not a korban. We're going to bring a thank you to Hashem. What is it? Ish eshamata kli zahav. Any person that found gold vessels. Etza odav etzamid, ankles and bracelets and tabas, rings, ogil, earrings, clasps, the chapan of shasin. We're bringing this as a gift of Hashem. So they took all the gold and silver that they got from Midian, and they gave it all away. They didn't keep any of it. To show thank you to Hashem, like it says, to thank Hashem for a favor he didn't earn.
They use it as a
what?
Sacrifice, or what they use it? The money.
No, they used it for the Mishkan. You can say, there was a lot of money, by the way. But this is what the commanders, the leaders, the people, the Jews, they took. But the commanders, they gave this donation to Hashem of all the gold and expensive things that they got. Okay, so it says that he does. V'yikach Moshe, v'lozer ha'kein, Moshe Rabbeinu, and lozer ha'kein took the gold from them. Kol kli ma'ise, any fashion vessel. Anything that he wanted to, that they needed to use in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Okay? But he calls Ava Terumah, how much gold was this gift that the leaders, the generals gave? Shisha Asa Elef Ushva Meyes V'chamishim Shokel. 16,750 shekel, me'ei sari alafim v'sari ameyers. Okay, they were the ones that gave it. And she had sava. That's a different story. Vazuzu ishle. They each took for themselves.
Why did the Chumash say this?
Huh?
Why did the Chumash
say?
The fact of is that they kept it. The leaders are liable for the community. When the community doesn't sin, like when the community sins, Vasimim B'Rashiach, we learned before, Moshe Rabbeinu screamed at the heads because they're responsible. So therefore, as their thank you, they gave the gold that they could have gotten. The regular people had a right. They fought. They won. The halacha gli is theirs.
Doesn't have to say this because
he
says who has given it. Automatically,
we
know the rest they did it.
Why does the Torah say half the whole thing? Okay. I don't know.
What? Shekel is the currency of Israel right now. It's, so it goes back to the time of Moshe?
Which one?
The shekel. The currency of Israel.
Not the today's shekel. It's
different.
Shekel is I tell you, he makes a cheshbon over here. Here. There's only this is the tribute of the leaders of thousands and hundreds, their share, right? Now, it was 132 men. To make a cheshbon at the bottom of it, you can see at the bottom. The leaders were, if you make a cheshbon, were 132 men. Okay? The 132 commanders. They were 1/90th of the total force of 12,000. Okay? That being so, the amount of gold is 16,750 shekels that they gave. Really was 1,507,500 shekels for the full army. If you make an cheshbon that each person got equal, so there are 12,000 soldiers. Right? They were only 132 men. So if they gave, there were 1/90th of the soldiers, right? So if they gave 16,750 shekels times 90 is 1.5 million shekels. Mm-hmm. Says according to that, you're talking about they gave 28,642.5 kilograms of gold.
28 tons.
Wow.
No? Kilograms.
Kilogram.
That's a lot, man.
3,000.
Doesn't say. It was a very big nation.
Yeah.
There are.
And there were only 12,000.
Right. That's the. And not only that. 12,000 soldiers fighting this big nation, and not one Jew died.
That's interesting.
So they saw, obviously, it was a miracle. A big miracle. Yeah. That's why they decided, the leaders decided to donate. Yeah. No, it wasn't even in. No, there wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't in Israel. Yeah.
No, this wasn't the country of Midian. The coming up story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven was Sichon and Og.
So they wiped out the nation, right?
Yeah, but they rebuilt. There's Midian later on. Rus was Moab, Midian. They rebuilt. Yeah, but they rebuilt.
Yuna. Greece.
Okay, let's finish this up. V'yikach Moshe v'Elazar HaKohen me'esar yafin zavir yetzel ha'med. They brought it to the ha'med. Zikaron lefnei Hashem. They brought it as a remembrance before Hashem. Okay, so this is it. Now starts things. Well, mikveh rav, the pasuk says, there was a lot of cattle. Levnei Reuven, Levnei God, Otzim Eid. For the children of Reuven and God, tremendous amount. Okay? By Yiru Aseretz Yazav Aseretz Gilad. They saw the land of Yazer and the land of Gilad, and Rashi says it was from the land of Sichon and Og. It was very fertile land, okay, very fertile land for the Jews, for cattle, okay.
End of the 40 years.
This is the land of the 40, yeah, Aaron died already. Aaron died in the 40th year. Aaron, Moshe, Miriam died in the same year. Right? The laws are now the Kohen Gadol. Okay, now, they had a tremendous amount of cattle. Okay? And the Kleyoker says, the fact that it says, Mikne Rav, Hoya, Livnei Ruvain, Vilivnei God, Otsum Eid. Otzumaid means very, very great. Now, in Hebrew, the Torah should have said, "Umikne Rav va'otzum hayu levnei God levnei Reuven levnei God." The Torah separates Rav and Otzum, right? Just grammatically, the Torah should have said, "Umikne Rav va'otzum hayu levnei Reuven levnei God." It says "Mikne Rav," and then it says "Otzumaid." So the Klayoker says Reuven had Mikne Rav in numbers, and the Gnei God had very strong sheep. Okay, that's okay. Mm-hmm. So they had a lot, and they had now some of the Mefarshim learn why up is Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. Because now in the Midian story they got a lot. And they had a lot from before. For whatever reason, they were the ones that had this.
Most of
them. Right. Now, the Medrash says, okay, where did they get all this money from? The victory over Midian. But then the question is, why should they have more? So it says like this. Bnei God and Bnei Reuven were soon going to see, as the Pasuk said, V'tar of Zerei Afkot Koid, they were very strong fighters. Of the two, by the way, God was more than Reuven. God was even stronger than Reuven. Because Reuven, this is what the Ordech Chaim says, because Bnei God and Bnei Reuven were the stronger soldiers, they conquered more animals than everybody else. Because they were Pasha stronger soldiers. They got the one that they were better fighters and they got whatever they want. Some of Farshim say, one Medrash says that it wasn't that they had more than everybody else, they just put an emphasis on it more than everybody else. Not really everybody had, but they were the ones that said, oh, we want this good land. Okay? Now, Bnei God, so it says like this. We now listen to the Pesukim. It says, Vayavayo Bnei God u Bnei Reuven. So Bnei God and Bnei Reuven came. They came to Meshua Elazar. So all the Mefarshim asked about the Turim, everything. Why is, in the first Pasuk, it says, Mikne Rav Hayu Levnei Reuven, and then God. Here, the Torah says, who came? Bnei God, Ubnei Reuven. Right? So like, why, in the first Pasuk, does it say, Bnei God, and that, so he says, because the Ebenezer learns, because God was the first one that came up with the idea. So the Torah speaks about Reuven, and God had a lot of cattle. When they came to complain that they want to stay here, they don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, so Bnei God came first because they were the ones that came up with the idea. And Reuven followed the tribe of God. Another thing, it says because they were stronger, so therefore they were less afraid to live in Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. Okay, let me discuss this story first outside with a little Hasidic input over here. Before we get into the story. Bnei God and Bnei Reuven come to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, listen, we have a lot of cattle. Okay, they were now on this side of the Yarden. They conquered Sichon and Og. The Jews were going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? The plan was, all the Jews are going to go into Eretz Yisrael, divide the land into 12. That was the plan. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven come along, and they say, Moshe Ben, we don't want to go there. We want to stay here. We want to stay here. Why? We have a lot of cattle. This is good cattle ground, good grazing. We want to stay here. Moshe Rabbeinu says, and what is your plan? That you guys stay here and everybody else should go to war? What type of chutzpah is this? So he said, no, God forbid, we'll go and we'll fight and the whole thing. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu eventually gives in.
Gives in?
He gives in, he says, okay, you could do it. That's what, okay. What went on here? And by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's screaming at Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, he says, that's the same thing that the Meraglim did. He says, Kayos Avisechem, why are you weakening the heart of the Jews that they shouldn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael? First days, in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to fight 7 nations, 31 powerful kings, and you guys want to stay here. That's what he said. We want to stay here. We don't want to go fight. We don't stay here. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what are you doing? The morale of the Jewish people you're going to kill. And that's exactly what the Meraglim did. So Moshe Rabbeinu is comparing this to the Meraglim. And they answer, no, we're different. We're going to go fight, and then we're going to come back. What happened over here? And if they're as bad as the Meraglim, why did Moshe Rabbeinu give in to them? The Meraglim were bad. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's saying that you guys are exactly like the Meraglim, so why is he giving in to them that eventually they could do it? So Chassidus explains like this. What happened over here is, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, what was the sin of the Meraglim? We learned already, we learned many times, what the sin of the Meraglim? Sin of the Meraglim were great people. The Tzaddikim, Rashi Bnei Yisrael, Heim, Kula, Manashi, Rio, Choshev, Guys, did they say Choshev, Guys, yeah? What went wrong over here? So Chassidus, Dr. Rebbe explains that the Meraglim didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they want to go into Eretz Yisrael? In the desert, they had the man, they had the well, they had the clouds, everything was taken care of, they had no headaches, no problems, nothing. Now you go into Eretz Yisrael, no more man, no more well, no more nothing. You got to start working for a living. Right? That's the story. So the Meraglim felt, faket, and the country, because they were tzaddikim, they felt, why are we going to Eretz Yisrael to work and have to deal with gashmias and the headaches of making a living? Let's stay in the midbar. What are we going into Eretz Yisrael? We're not going to be able to learn the same. We're not going to be, you know, why get married? Let's stay in yeshiva. I'm a chaya. No headaches, no worries, you get supported, you get spending money. What do I need to go work for a living for? Let's stay in the midbar. So Moshe Rabbeinu screamed at them and said, that's not the kavanah. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want a Jew to remain always out of the world. Hashem dafka wants the world. Hashem doesn't want the person to stay in yeshiva all his life. Hashem says, I want you to get married and go make a living and have
the midbar was where? What, the midbar was the...
Midbar was the kollel.
Yeah, but in Egypt.
In the desert. The 40 years in the desert. So that's why Hashem got angry at the Meraglim. Because that's not what the Kavanah. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want you to be in a desert, in a ghetto, segregated from the world. Hashem wants you to be in the world, elevate the world, make Eretz Yisrael holy. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven said, the Meraglim were wrong. But we have a different approach. Our approach is that some Jews should stay in the Midbar. Not all Jews. Some Jews should stay, not in the Midbar, in the land of Sichon and Og, but I'll explain what it was. We learned already in the past, what was the difference between the Shvatim and Yosef HaTzadik? As the Shvatim were told when they went into Mitzrayim, what do you do? were shepherds. What were the Shvatim? The Shvatim, basically, it says in Chumash, were shepherds. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd's not involved in the world. He takes his flock out to the fields, to the grazing areas, and they eat, and meanwhile he can sit and learn Torah all day. He's not tied up in worldly affairs. Right? Yosef HaTzadik, on the other hand, he was in Mitzrayim, right? That's why it says that Yosef recognized the brothers, Behem Lehi Kiru. They didn't recognize Yosef. Why not? Because the brothers, on their level, said, you can only be from in a ghetto. You can only be from in being a shepherd. You're not involved in Mitzrayim, you're not involved in politics, you're not involved in the world. You can only be religious there. That Yosef should be from in Mitzrayim, the brother says, they didn't recognize him. They couldn't picture that a guy should be a tzaddik in Mitzrayim. And that's why when they finally told Yaakov Yosef's alive, they said, Ey Yosef chai, v'chi humeishel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, the bus says, right? And he's ruling Egypt, k'le'ahem in lahem. He said, I don't believe you. What do you mean he didn't believe him? What, did he make up a story? Yaakov Avinu said that Yosef should be in Mitzrayim and be chai, living like a Jew? It can't be. So he saw the wagons, and he remembered the din of Megla Rufa that Yosef sent the man. I still remember what I learned 22 years ago with you. So then he became alive. Okay? The difference between the Shvatim and Yosef, the Shvatim were secluded from the world. Yosef was in the world. That's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik, because Yosef is on a higher level than the Shvatim. The Shvatim, the tribes, because they were not so holy, would not be able to keep their holiness in Mitzrayim. Yosef was so holy, even in Mitzrayim he could be holy. The Meraglim came along and said, everybody should stay in the Midbar. Everybody should stay in the Midbar.
Don't mix it.
Moshe Rabbeinu says, what? Are you crazy? That's against the Kavanah. B'nai God and B'nai Reuven come along and they say, 1 minute. We understand that people have to go into Eretz Yisrael. But some of the Jews who have cattle, they should be like the shepherds that are not in the world. They should be separated from the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jews, to B'nai God and B'nai Reuven, understand, first he compared them to the Meraglim. Because that's really exactly what the Meraglim wanted. Let's not go into Eretz Yisrael. Let's stay separated, secluded from the world in the Midbar. So that's what B'nai God and B'nai Reuven said. We're also going to be secluded by being shepherds. We're not going to be involved in business. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you guys are exactly like the Meraglim. So B'nai God and B'nai Reuven says, no, we're not like the Meraglim. Because we believe that most of the Jews take should be working. But some of the Jews, they should be ghettoed. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, that's also not right. But when they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we are going to go fight. We're going to be part with everybody else in conquering the world. And after we conquer the world, we're going to go back and to deal with our cattle. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if that's the case, fine, no problem. But therefore, they were not as bad as the Meraglim. The Meraglim wanted everybody to be outside of Eretz, in the ghetto. And B'nai God and B'nai Reuven said, only we understand, but we feel that some of us should be. And Moshe Rabbeinu gave in. So they made Eretz Yisrael, Eved Ayad, on the side of Sichon and Reg, became B'nai God and B'nai Reuven and half of Menashe, like it says.
It's not a good thing to be in a midbar type of situation.
No. What?
Not a good thing to be in that kind of situation. Like, Shabbat, one should be like Yosef.
After Matan Torah, Noe Katzen Yosef, The pasuk says in Tehillim, everybody could be like Yosef HaTzadik.
So why the Rambam passing? Not passing, but it says one should go to the Midbar, and if we had a choice, we should do that.
What do you mean? If you have a how? What do you mean?
Meaning that one should go away from the cities and be secluded and to learn the
he
Torah.
He says only if you only if you feel that the city is taking over your life, that's controlling you, then you need to separate. No, but this is bechlal. By the way, this is not only every day. You need midbar, and then conquering Eretz Yisrael. Every day. Torah is every day, right? You wake up in the morning, the first thing that you need to do is be in the midbar. Daven and learn. Then you're able to go into Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael doesn't affect you. So every day you have midbar, and then you have Eretz Yisrael. You need to first be a midbar, and then you can go.
You have to have some education to go outside. If you don't have it, you mix it.
That's why the Jews were in the desert for 40 years to get the strength that even when they go into Eretz Yisrael, they shouldn't become affected by it. So if a person davens and learns, so then they don't become affected by the world afterwards. So they're going with the strong
background.
Right. Okay, now we can, after this introduction, now we can see it inside. Okay? So, Zeve Yavel, B'nai Gadu, B'nai Ruven came. V'yemeh O'meshu Elazar Akem on the Siyai Delema. They said like this. Ataris V'divin Yazim V'nimra Cheshben Al-Ole Yushvam O'Nevei O'Vein. These are all the, like Rashi says in the Sichin and Eig, Ha'aretz Asher Hika Hashem Lefnei Adas Yisrael, the land that Hashem conquered, smote before the Jewish people, Eretz Miknehi, it's a land of Mikneh, it's a land of cattle, grazing, V'lavadach Mikneh, we have a lot of cattle, so we want to stay here. Now that we want to be separated from the world, we want to live in a ghetto. So Moshe says, "Vayomer," they said, "If we find favor in your eyes, Moshe Rabbeinu, you ten us aretz azeis lavadachol achuza. You should give this land as inheritance to us. Al tavireinu as a yarden that we shouldn't have to go across the yarden." And the Aruchaim Hakadosh explains what does it mean, "Al tavireinu." Just like it says by Yerusha, okay. Mavir al tavireinu aseyardim means don't give over our inheritance from here to there. Let us keep the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael here. Let's keep it here.
Replace it,
huh?
They replace it with that. Is it?
Well, that they wanted that should become also Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so then it says like this. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "Vayemer Moshe, l'fnei God of Bnei Ruvin." Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei God of Bnei Ruvin, "I don't understand you. Achechem yavoy lemelchama. You want your brothers to go to war, but atem teshupay, and you're going to sit here. I mean, come on. Lama seniu neslev Yisrael. Why should you dissuade the heart of the Bnei Yisrael?" May Avir Allah orders from to go to the land Ashenosin Lahem Hashem that Hashem gave them. Why are you doing this? That you're making that Eretz Yisrael, the Jews shouldn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. And then he says, "Kay also aviseichem." This is exactly what your forefathers did. B'sholchi Eisam Hakadosh Barnei L'Eretz Yisrael when he gave them to spy the land. Vayalu ad Nachal Eshkol. They went up to Nachal Eshkol. Vayiru asa'aris, and they saw the land. Vayaniu, and they dissuaded the heart of Bnei Yisrael. Nevilti vayalars eshenos l'nosel l'nosel l'mashem. What did they come back? And they said, "We can't do it. Right? What did the spies say? We can't conquer the land. They said even God can't conquer the land. That's what they said. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're doing exactly like the Meraglim did. The Meraglim dissuaded the Jews from going to Eretz Yisrael. Because of that, Hashem swore that they're not going to go into the land. Hashem swore they're not going to go into the land. And here, you're doing the exact same thing. So it wasn't, by the way, that Bnei God and Bnei Reuven thought, differently. But this is what they, it came out, at least, this is what they said. Hashem got angry at them on that day. Vayishav aleim, and Hashem swore the following. Im yiru anashim ha'ilim mitzrayim. If the man that left Egypt, he said, Mivanish esim shon of a mile from 20 years and up. As so Adam Hashem nishbal that nishpate Avram Yitzchak al Yaakov, that I swore to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, le'mila achrei, they didn't follow me. In other words, look what the Jews did. So Hashem made a shvur that because of this same argument, they said, Hashem said, everybody's going to die out. Except, Bilti, Kalev ben Yifun, Aknizi, Yishua ben Nun. Okay? So he says, you have to read this all together. Yicha Hashem b'Yisrael, Hashem got angry. Vayinein b'midbar aboim shana. He made them wander in the desert 40 years. Atem kol ador, Reisa Rabbeinu Hashem. By the way, there's another interesting point. It reminds, if you stop, people don't think that's the problem. When you learn the Mefarshim, you see that they thought. If you think about it, the spies came back, and they said, we don't want to go on Eretz Yisrael. You want to stay in the Midbar. That's what they said, right? What was their punishment? They all stayed in the Midbar.
They don't go to Israel.
But that's exactly what they wanted. It says, Yishchotem b'Midbar. Shechted them the pasuk earlier. Yishchotem b'Midbar.
So,
it's like,
come true.
It's weird.
Not punished.
Huh? That's what they wanted. And they died at 60. So nobody died younger than 60. They come and they say, God, we don't want to go on Eretz Yisrael, so we stay in the Midbar. So Hashem, bad people. You know what your punishment is? You're going to get what you want. No? It sounds like today's parents spoiling the kids. You get what you want. You misbehave and you get what you want. What's the answer? The answer is, because the Jews became on that lower level, the preparation of Torah and davening without any side distractions, they needed 40 years to reach the level of Bina, to have an understanding in Avedas Hashem of being secluded from the world. In other words, like we said, anytime before you go out into the world, you need to have the desert first, right? You need to have the Midbar first. So before the Jews sinned in the Meraglim, they really were able to go straight into Eretz Yisrael right away. Not 40, they no there 40 years. Without the Torah learning of 40 years, they're able to get the Torah and right away go into Eretz Yisrael, not be affected by Eretz Yisrael. Now that the Meraglim complained, and that's why it says Vayishchotem b'Midbar, he shechted them in the Midbar. What type of expression, shechted them? So it says, shechita is not a shechita killing. Shechita is making it edible. Shechita is elevating it to a stage that now you can use it. It's a funny expression. He killed them in the Midbar. Don't say Hashem shechted them in the Midbar. Hashem killed them in the Midbar. Pasuk vayishchotem b'Midbar. What is the shechita? Shechita is an expression of preparing the animal, refining the animal, that now you can eat it. So Moshe Rabbeinu is screaming that because of what they did, they had to prepare. They could have done it without all that preparation. They could have gone straight into Eretz Yisrael and did it and not be affected by Eretz Yisrael, by the nation. They could have wholly right away. Because they sinned, Hashem got angry at them. They lowered. Hashem says, you know what? Sorry, guys. Now you're going to need a longer preparation of 40 years to come to a level of Bina to understand that now when you go into Eretz Yisrael shouldn't affect you. And he's saying to them, you're doing the same thing.
But didn't he want that anyway, that we go through all that, through the whole 40 years, so we really, really get it?
Hashem wanted the golden calf. Hashem wanted the brothers to sell Yosef. Hashem wants it all. But the problem is, they didn't know that.
He wanted us to kind of spiritually get exercise and...
But that's not from the people's perspective. They didn't know that. The brothers sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. It was beneficial. The citizen explains that because Yosef, the Jews were supposed to be in Egypt 400 years. But that's what Hashem said. They ended up being there 210 years. Why were they there less? So in Halacha, in Medrash, it says, because those 210 was such hard labor that it was like 400 years. But the truth is, it was only 86 years, the Medrash says, of hard labor. The whole 210 years the Jews were in Egypt, only 86 years.
But
that's why Miriam's called Miriam, because right after she, before she was born, Miriam, Mar, bitter, was when the really Shkolah started. So in Kabbalah it says, and the Rebbe brings this down in my modem, it's brought down in Chassidus, but in Kabbalah it says, because the Jews had to go down to Egypt to elevate all the sparks of Kedusha there, Yosef did it for them. He gathered all the money from all over the world, right? He got it all ready for the Jews. They went out of Egypt, he did the job, went chick-shack. So Yosef made the Golus in Mitzrayim easier. That's why they were only there 210 years, because Yosef did all the work that all the other Jews would have to do.
To elevate.
Right? See, so now, so Yosef's brothers selling him to Egypt, yeah, really was a very good thing. Yeah? Yet they were punished. The 10 martyrs in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash destruction, the 10 martyrs were killed because of the 10 tribes that sold Yosef into slavery. And by then it was already proven that it was good. So what now, you're like, what are you blaming the guy now? You see, it turned out to be great. Because they didn't know that when they did it. When the brothers sold Yosef, they didn't know this whole thing that Yosef is going to be and it's going to be easy. And they didn't know all that. Right? But the same thing with the ego. But any Aveda, did Hashem want it? Of course Hashem wanted it. The Medrash says, by Chetei Tzedas, by original sin, Neira Lila B'nei Adam, Hashem wanted the Tzedas to happen. Do you know that till today, we're suffering from that? We have to work for a living. Women have to have a child
pain.
You have raising kids. Yeah. All these problems we have today is because of something Adam and Chava did that God wanted it to happen. If not, it wouldn't have happened. The Medrash says God wanted it to happen. And because of that, we're suffering till today. Somebody go, God, make up your mind. You wanted it to happen, so why are we punished? The answer is because Adam and Chava didn't know that. They knew one thing. Don't eat from the tree, and they ate from the tree. That's it. They didn't know all these Kabbalistic things, that's what Hashem wanted, because then good got mixed with bad, and now we have the Aveda Birudim, and now we perfect the world instead of God perfecting the world. That all great. They didn't know that. Instead, so, yeah, did Hashem want us to be in the desert 40 years? Yeah. But the Meraglim didn't know that. And therefore, when they came and complained, that was their sin. But what's unique, B'nai God and B'nai Reuven, Moshe Rabbeinu did give in to them. Because Hashem wanted it to happen like that. They weren't punished. I mean, it says they were punished. It says they were punished because it says when the Jews were exiled, the Medrash says when the Jews were exiled from Eretz Yisroel, B'nai God and B'nai Reuven were the first tribes to be exiled. Why? Because they did this shtick.
Yes, they already did.
They did this thing. So they were punished. But in Chumash it doesn't look. Moshe Rabbeinu agreed with them. It's good. You could do it. You know.